Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. November 3rd, 2025. It's a beautiful day outside, gorgeous, and hopefully we'll continue this through the week. We've got a great lineup for you today. We'll visit with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about Federal Reserve cut rates, what's next, the China tariff settlement, what was agreed to, shutdown news, strategy relative to the city of New Orleans cash flow, and news that are flowing from there. At 11:30, we'll visit with Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. We'll check in with him, talk about yesterday's whatever. I'm not sure if I even want to call it a game, but we'll talk about that. At 11 o'clock, Colonel Pete Crean, Vice President of Education of and Access, the National World War II Museum, Beyond All Boundaries has been re-engineered into a 4D cinematic experience. We'll talk about that. I understand it is incredible. You're going to want to get out there to see that. We'll talk to Colonel Pete Crean, retired, when we at 11 o'clock. So I was going to talk about what Tommy talked about in the last hour, and we'll talk about a couple of things relative to this and whether or not this is actually worthy of this shutdown that we're going on right now. Over 30 days now of this shutdown, and you know, we still are going back and forth trying to figure out what we're going to do. And to me, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And you know, so now we're beyond the date to make the changes for the subsidies, which the Democrats want to make permanent, okay? Not temporary, permanent. And the irony with this situation is that they created all of these programs while they had control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They created these additional subsidies. They created participation in this program, which actually has doubled over the last 5 years. You just heard Walter Dubb Lane from UNO, proud to be an alumni, talk about how this program has doubled over that period of time. So they created all of this, and they made the subsidies, they put the subsidies in, excuse me, with an expiration date. They didn't make them permanent. They had every chance to make it permanent, but they did not, for a whole host of reasons. And now that we're approaching over $38 trillion in debt, $500 billion prediction over 10 years, an increased cost to do what they're holding out right now relative to healthcare. And the situation is this. The promises that were made is that this was going to make healthcare costs go down. Well, they haven't. Medical inflation has outpaced inflation in this country for a decade. And here we are, none of this, none of the promises that were made have really held up to be true. Now, they're not the only ones to blame. There were some things that were removed early onset in Obamacare that made it more difficult for them to fulfill the promises made. But what has happened now with these subsidies that were given during the pandemic, as Walter Dublane pointed out, in the aftermath of the pandemic, people started moving from commercial insurance to Obamacare. Why? It was a little bit cheaper. In fact, medical inflation in these conventional insurance plans were moving faster because they weren't subsidized. So they were able to get the subsidized. Then they removed the cap of who would qualify from an income standpoint during the pandemic. So that brought in a whole bunch of new folks. And then for the benefit of the high wage earners that came in, they provided an 8.5% cap on medical health care spend on the premiums. So that there was an extra protection for upper income individuals that were provided as well, which encouraged a lot of people, as they just pointed, as Walter and Tommy just pointed out, in red states that were upper middle income wage earners that abandoned conventional insurance and went to the marketplace, the Affordable Care Act marketplace. It was never, ever designed to address these situations. It was never designed for this. And actually what has happened is, as conventional insurance and healthcare costs have gone up, the Affordable Care Act has just followed. So for example, of the increases that people are going to feel this year, let's assume for the moment that the subsidies are staying in. They're still going to have very expensive increases in the premium base for the Affordable Care Act. Why? Healthcare costs are going up. And the subsidies are static. They're not dynamic. They're not changing. They just want to make them from temporary to permanent. But healthcare costs are going up. And in fact, the subsidy, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation and others, Cato and others, the subsidies themselves are only responsible for about 3.3% of the increase on the premium base that's going to be charged to individuals as that are involved in the Affordable Care Act programs. So what has happened is that we're not treating the illness here. The illness is that we got to figure out how to drive healthcare costs down. And the amount of money that we're spending in healthcare costs in this country, our comorbidity rate is so far higher than other industrialized nations. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. We are unhealthy. We eat unhealthy. We are obese. And the list goes on and on. And we wonder why our healthcare costs are where they're at. That's why. Now, the question is, how do we pay this runaway costs that are going on? And whether or not we want to pay you, me, and everybody else in taxes, it's going to have to change. Again, the billionaires are not able to finance all of this. There's not enough of them. There's not enough to spread the cost around. That group is, they're the ones that are the healthiest, quite frankly. And if they need health care, they just go buy doctors. They don't need us. They don't need a shared expense model to be able to provide health care to them. And they're nimble. They can go, and they're flexible. They go anywhere they want. So we can keep talking about that as if and though that's going to be the solution to this problem, to SNAP benefits, to Medicaid, to all these other social service programs, entitlements, and think that it's going to all be okay. No, We have to craft a way to move this to the private sector. And it's going to have to be an accumulation of a bunch of different ways to get there. And unless and until our congressional folks take this seriously and decide that collectively they want to address this situation, we're going nowhere. This is a repeat of immigration, right? We flood this country with illegal immigrants, not thinking about what the costs are going to be to this country. We have enough poor people already. How many times have you heard me say this? Over 40 million, I think we're approaching about 44 million now, living below the federally identified poverty level. Right? How many more do we want? How many more do we need? We keep hearing about folks coming here and not, you know, taking the jobs that Americans don't want to work. And then when we look at agriculture, which is always pointed to, we find out that the vast majority of the agricultural jobs in this country are actually held by U.S. citizens. So a lot of these little anecdotal stories are not exactly true. The real question is, in many respects, is what are we willing to pay for a head of lettuce? What are we willing to pay for an avocado? What are we willing to pay for a whole lot of things? When we go to these other industrialized nations, they pay more. So we can't just get all of the benefits from the cost structure that we're looking to get, right? And not think that somewhere, somehow, something's coming home to roost as it relates to these issues. It's a very complicated thing, but these are the facts. And until Congress comes together and stop playing their silly-ass games that they're playing each and every day, bamboozling the public by deflecting and denying and evading and then counterattack on each other. Meanwhile, we sit on the sidelines, and in many respects, the cost structure here is getting absolutely astronomical and hard to swallow. It's a big burden. So the Democrats are urging Trump to sit down and talk with them about compromising on this issue. Well, but why should he do that? You decided to make these temporary. Not too long ago, you had the power to make them permanent. You chose not to for a whole host of reasons. So why now? So why should it be the burden now as it relates to this government shutdown? You know, so, and then when we did these subsidies during the pandemic, remember that we gave these enhanced tax credits accompanied by a relaxation of eligibility requirements. So people that were way above the poverty line now qualify for a taxpayer-covered health care subsidy, and it all depends on where you live. They have households right now that qualify for the Affordable Care Act that make as much as $600,000 a year. And now we want to make this permanent. And just to put the numbers to what I was saying earlier, enrollment in Obamacare doubled from 12.1 million to 24.32 million since these subsidies were created. And we're experiencing the tail of this, right? But what really is happening here is that the percentage of the covered cost for those that are poor, it's basically staying the same. Democrats would have you believe that that number's going up, that the poor are going to suffer in a disproportionate way. The average folks that are enrolled in this program at 150% of the poverty line, are they going to pay less than $15 a week for their subsidized plan? They're responsible for about 8% of the cost. The rest is financed by you and me. 60% of enrollees will have access to a plan that costs $50 a month or less. When you factor in the original subsidies, not the enhanced that they're trying to make permanent. the vast majority of enrollees will still receive the financial assistance even if the enhanced COVID-19 subsidies expire on December 31st. Now, what will happen is deductibles will go up, right? So those who are at the poverty line, who have zero premium, they pay no premium at all for the health insurance, their deductible will go to about $87. So that's kind of the granular details that go behind what everyone is talking about. Now, the higher income enrollees, they're the ones that are going to pay the bill. You just heard Professor Lane, Walter Dubb Lane, talk about that. Those that earn more than 400% of the federally poverty level, that's about $62,000 for a single person, $84,000 for a couple, and $129,000 for a family of four, will have to pay their whole premium, no matter how high it spikes. And that's what everybody refers to. You hear it said all the time about the subsidy cliff, because there is no subsidy. It goes away. That additional subsidy that was given in COVID-19. Now, interestingly, the law caps the share of incomes of the lower income earners, right? And what they pay for health premiums. But there is no limit for the higher income group. And in fact, Congress gave them a temporary kind of cushion by capping the premium spending at 8.5% of their income, which is what I was talking about earlier. But this group has now would lose all protection against these premium increases. Now, who makes this up for the most part? What portion of the population? This is where it gets real interesting. So when you're figuring out your resources, what you have, your financial resources, when you can retire or otherwise, what they have found is that there's a large group of folks that retire before their Social Security full retirement age, or they retire early at 60 or 59 or 60, and they're not eligible for Medicare and other programs. They're the ones that are taking advantage of this, and they're the ones, for the most part, where a lot of people are saying, well, we can't afford these premiums. Well, you decided to retire real early and didn't wait to get to the benefit of the other programs that are designed, and this one was supposed to work in concert with others, and because it was so lucrative, and when they put the additional subsidies on there, not thinking that these things were going to be temporary again, because you know as well as I, no federal program ever goes away, right? We continue it on. So they took the risk. They left their employ. They no longer had an employer-sponsored plan. And they started going on this plan. And as those additional subsidies came on, it was like, wow, this is like manna from heaven. We're golden. We're great. We don't have to work. We don't have to be productive any longer. Otherwise, healthy, able-bodied individuals. Well, now they can't get to that 65 or 62 and qualify for full Medicare benefits and their Social Security in between, and they're not able to make the payments. And they're having more and more trouble. And a lot of times these programs were constructed to align with one another. And if you decided to fall out of that alignment, it wasn't going to work. And it's not. And in fact, they're paying higher premiums. not unlike the conventional insurers that are paying higher premiums. How many people work out there, have employer-sponsored health plans, and their premiums have actually gone down in the last 5 years? And there's been no change to benefits. It's one or the other. You're either going to pay, or both, right? Higher premiums, less benefits, has been basically what everybody has been experiencing in the commercial market. A lot of it, we hear about it all the time, being driven by prescription drug costs. So the real question is that who should be the beneficiary? Who should we be financing this for, first off? And how do we figure out, for those that don't qualify for those programs, what we can set up to actually drive healthcare costs down so these premiums are not just running amok? And why is it that some of these federal health insurance programs are not allowed to negotiate with providers? Why is it that we can't negotiate with prescription drugs? You know, that's been not allowed for a long time. They've began to start to relax the rules. We put 10 prescriptions that we're going to be able to negotiate with, right? 10 medicines. Why not all? Why are we limiting ourselves as to how we can actually drive these things down? And you know what? Instead of all of this crazy town USA that we are discussing and debating in Congress, why don't we spend one entire session on health care alone? If it's consuming as much of the federal budget and consuming as much of the income of individuals in this country that are paying premiums, why don't we treat it as a priority? Why are we not spending more time on this problem? And if it's truly a bipartisan issue, we should have little to no trouble trying to get to something. Something better than what we have right now. Something that will be affordable for people moving forward. Why is it that medicines that cost $300, $300 in Canada for 90 days, cost $2,400 in the U.S. for that same 90? Why is that? You hear these stories all the time. These are the outcomes. They're the what's. Maybe we should spend more time on the whys instead of arguing about the what's. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So, folks have said everyone doesn't have a golden parachute. I need my subsidy. I'm not sure what you're talking about with golden parachutes. And Newell, I like your pompous attitude towards people wanting to retire early. You obviously don't know what the meaning of pompous is. I'm just saying that you evaluate these financial resources that are available to you, you quantify them, and you figure out whether or not that there's going to be enough. And when there's not enough, why is everybody else to blame? And why does everyone else have to step in and save individuals that put themselves in a position that they can't afford to support? It's the same thing in deciding how many children you want to have. Everybody goes through that. I'm working. If I was the pompous, arrogant fool that folks want to make me out to be, I wouldn't have retired and stayed working at age 67, soon to be 68. I'm not looking for someone else, the federal government, that is, to subsidize my life at this point in time. I had to make decisions 30 years ago as to where I wanted to be and why, and make sacrifices all along the way to get you to the point where you are, and not ever once considered or contemplating what I was going to be able to grab from the federal government. Now, I know that there's things that happen to people. I'm not talking about those people. But don't complain about these temporary provisions that were put in place to help through a pandemic and then start crying the blues because now you have modified your life based on those temporary subsidies that now they're wanting to make permanent because everybody got a taste and now they don't want less. Well, if that's the attitude that we're going to have, we'll never get out of this financial tailspin that we're in right now. The government deficit is north of $38 trillion. Over the summer, it was, at the beginning of the summer, I think it was at $36 trillion. So, I mean, I don't know where everyone thinks that this is going to end. And if they really believe, in the end, that only rich people, wealthy people, billionaires are going to suffer the income tax consequences, better look at history and better think again. Let's go to Byron on line one. Byron, what say you?
Good morning, Newell. Thanks for taking my call. I support what you say 110%, and I'm glad you mentioned the Kaiser Foundation, because individuals that were concerned about what the costs are going to be in 2026 with the enhanced subsidies and without, you can go in any income, as you know, any number of children, any state, and find out what the cost is going to be. And I wanted to support what you were saying with just one example. I plugged in Louisiana, Jefferson Parish, an annual income of $180,000 for a family of four, two adults, 60 and 59, and two children, 19 and 18. With the enhanced subsidies, that family in 2026 is going to get $1,992 a month, $24,000 a year for a family making $180,000 in Louisiana.
In subsidies.
Correct.
But it is absurd that they're making this about double and triple and all of this. But the people making under $50,000 that deserve and need this so much, under $50,000, they're getting hit $50, $75 a month or somewhere in that range. But it is outrageous that this government is going to give $24,000 to a family making $180,000 a year. It's outrageous. But you're familiar with that site, correct? KFF.org?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the data that I talk about, you know, relative to health care, when I was on a hospital board, and even now I look at, you know, with the Kaiser Family Foundation, and I look at others as well, Cato and others that report out, to see if there's differences in the way that they're analyzing the data. And if there is, I try and dig a little deeper to figure out, you know, where the truth lies. The fact of the matter is, and this is really not about Democrats and Republicans, this is about what folks in Congress are willing on any given day, on any given issue, at any given time, what lies they are willing to perpetuate for the sake of moving the polling numbers and in order to gain influence. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. And it's unfortunate that you and I and others have to go dig the truth out on any given day.
I emailed Senator Kennedy and Cassidy that you can't extend these subsidies. You may have to go back and sit down and say, okay, let's see what we need to do for $50,000 a year and less people. Let's see what we've got to do for that. But I mean, it's just crazy that these people, that's almost six times the poverty level of a family of four, and this government can't afford to give to go 36, 38, 40, 42 trillion dollars in debt on a progressive basis. So that's my story, and like I say, I'm glad you're on this topic because
You know, my question is when does it all, where and when does it all end, right? And how does this end? You know, I was reading an article about these SNAP benefits, and the most recent audit that was completed by Secretary Rollins that came in, they've moved 700,000 people off of SNAP that did not qualify. They did not meet the minimum qualifications to receive SNAP. How does this happen? 5,000 dead people are still getting SNAP today, and they've been dead for years. I mean, and then Democrats want to criticize them for going through this audit to see who's actually on these programs and how this is going to work. And by the way, allegedly, remember, no illegal aliens are receiving SNAP benefits. Well, that's not true. The most recent USDA data from 2022 provided 1.465 million non-citizens, with an additional 2.2 million children living with non-citizens, so a total of almost 4 million people receiving SNAP benefits who do not otherwise qualify. And they wonder why, you know, people and folks are saying we need to do economic credentialing as it relates to whatever numbers we allow in to this country, because where's the money going to come from to support all of this? If that's where they want, and that's the greatest thing about this country as to why they want to move here, a federal government benefits that they're giving out, there has to be another reason. It can't be only that, because you and I and everyone else just simply can't afford it. The math has no emotion. It doesn't lie. It is what it is. And if we have folks that are just taking, and not producing, at some point in time, the two converging lines, it's going to be more of a collision than anything else. And we're beginning to see it as we're north of $38 trillion in deficit today. Thank you so much for the call, Byron. Appreciate it. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So I got a couple of texts, people saying national deficit, you know, how are we finding money for Argentina, ICE agents, private jets for DHS and all of this. So let me, you know, just kind of go on the record about a couple of these things. I can't really talk about the situation with Argentina because I don't know enough about that situation, quite frankly. When it comes to foreign policy, the only thing I do know there is I know they were trying to box out China as it relates to their relationship with Argentina, Russia as well, and the type of government that they were going to have moving forward. It seems to have worked because of the most recent elections, but I think there's a whole lot of other variables involved in that that I just can't speak to. But let me just speak to right-sizing the federal government. I don't know why anybody would be opposed to that. I mean, it's amazing to me. And yet we have, you know, again, another division across the aisles on this issue. Republicans want to downsize the federal government. Democrats think that they're an employment agency, you know, that we need to keep all these people employed in government. Really? I mean, you know, we have court filings that are down across the country. We still have the same amount of judges. And the one thing about judges, unlike hiring police, is that you appoint these people. You can immediately start appointing people if you need more judges. But why do we feel compelled that we have to, you know, fill every position that's available out there, never look at the court dockets, never look at the average caseload of federal court judges, appellate judges, and the like, ever? Why would we do something like that? It doesn't make any sense to me. Planes. Why does every agency have private planes? Why is it that when you get appointed to be the secretary to the department of whatever, okay, all of a sudden you're entitled to a private plane? All of a sudden your safety and security is all about the private plane. We all sound like we're LaToya Cantrell. The truth be told, not unlike, and I used to tease some of my judge friends in the appellate courts, half of the Bar Association couldn't name the judges on the appellate court. And I would say that probably 1% of the electorate could name who the judges were on the appellate court. Nobody knows who you are. Why are you so concerned? So I don't think they should be entitled to a private plane unless they're on government business, plain and simple. And I don't think every agency ought to have them. You know, instead of doubling up and coordinating among secretaries that are going to certain areas of the country to save the public money, no. All of a sudden, this job that they have is more important than everything else that's going on, and we've got all of these expenses associated with all of these individuals, and it's crazy. Got another one here. Why do we have so many police forces for each agency? Great question. Because, again, you get appointed to be the secretary or whatever, and now you're the center of the universe, and all things flow around you, right? I mean, we have allowed government bloat to run amok. And it's amazing to me that anybody would be opposed to this. I mean, when you bring that home right here to the city of New Orleans, what we're going to find out is we have too many city employees. We can't afford them. We cannot afford all of these employees. We have to redesign government. Redesign it. Based on where we are. We cannot have an employment force as though we still have 600,000 plus population in the city of New Orleans. How does anybody really believe that they can do that without right-sizing? You got to right-size the organization to your revenue base. Please don't keep saying new taxes, new fees. We're arguing about the length of time at parking meters right now because we fear losing revenue, right? I mean, we might be better off to give cans out to public employees and have them shake cans at the corner. This is crazy. Crazy that we spend all this time, on these things that make it even harder to do business downtown, a bigger impediment, you know, as it relates to all of these issues. We cannot be all things to all people. There's just simply not enough money. And then, you know, let's talk about public housing, for example. It used to be called transitional housing. Not anymore. We have multiple generations that have lived in public housing. How can that be? That was never the goal of the program. We wonder why we have shortages in affordable housing? Because we have unaffordable policies. It's supposed to be temporary assistance, not permanent assistance for generations of families to live in subsidized housing. It doesn't make any sense. And then you add to that bringing in an overrepresentation of those that are economically poor into this country, and we wonder why we find ourselves in the predicament that we do. And then we argue we don't have enough people working in government. Why? Because we're recruiting those that are going to be looking to the government every day. Makes no sense. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we return, we'll visit with Colonel Pete Crean, Vice President of Education and Access at the National World War II Museum. And the back half of this hour, Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. We'll talk about that Saints, Rams, whatever.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.